And welcome to In-Game Chat for Thursday, February 25th, 2010, the Flush Button episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Matt.
I'm RJ.
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
And Dennis is not with us tonight, but he'll probably be back next week. Welcome back, Matt, by the way.
Thanks.
So, tonight's episode, we covered games that we played. Matt played a little bit of Silent Hill Shattered Memories on the PSP. Dante's Inferno was covered, and of course, extensive talk on Heavy Rain. Not extensive enough, really, to give you a spoiler warning, though. Not very far into it for you to really worry about spoilers in the game. By the time you hear this episode, because it's not obviously instantaneous when we record and when you hear it, you'll have probably played well past the conversations that we have about the game, so no worry there. The elements of the game that do and that don't work, the story elements, the voice acting, that sort of thing. Aliens vs. Predator gets discussed, Resident Evil 5 DLC gets discussed, new release dates, tweets, emails, voicemails, and much more there. So enjoy the episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us and leave us some tweets, emails, and voicemails, call us. 201-7-IN-GAME. 201-7-IN-GAME is the voicemail number. Everyone at ingamechat.net is our email address, and you can reach us on Twitter at ingamechat. So there you go, and enjoy the show.
Armor stall.
So, Matt, welcome back.
Thank you. Good. In a weird kind of way, it's good to be back.
In a weird way, you don't want to be back?
Well, I mean, you know, it is Montgomery, but, you know, then again, I was in L.A., so you take one for the other.
You don't miss, like, strolling the streets, smoking pot with your people?
Getting harassed by the fuzz? Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you smoke pot, Matt.
Apparently. But, no, yeah, it's, you know, I'm going to be back.
How long are you, well, you're only going to be back with us for apparently this show, and then you're gone again, right?
Well, no, just have a concert next week.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Cool.
I don't leave for Hawaii until the 27th of next month. So, I got a few more episodes between then.
So, what'd you do while you were gone?
I went to a memorial service for my uncle, that's why I was gone. But as far as, like, you know, game-wise, all I really brought with me was my PSP. So, I downloaded Thexter, and just for, you know, just because I had it on my Apple 2GS back in the day. And so, you know, just I wanted to see how the updated remake was. And reminded me just a lot of how it was back in the day. So, that was nice. And also downloaded Shattered Memory, Silent Hill. So,
played through. I didn't know that was on the PSP.
Yeah.
And it was on the Wii and I think the PS2.
I'm not sure about the PS2.
Or maybe I'm getting confused.
Came out on the PSP also. So
any how different at all? Any?
Yeah. Well, it's very lonely. There's like.
I mean, I understand that the controls are different. Obviously, going from Wii to PSP, but
I could tell that it was made for the Wii, and just some of the actions that you have to do, like when you're opening up doors or cabinets and everything, how you actually have to, like, you know, turn the little. Nubbin.
The nub thing, you have to turn that to open stuff up?
Yeah, to, you know, rotate it around.
Yeah,
and,
I guess that is something.
That doesn't make any sense. No. Why would you try to translate motion control of something as simple as opening a door to a standard controller instead of just making it a standard control thing like pushing a button to open a door?
Well, okay, for the doors, like, you hold down the X and it's like, as you push forward, then, you know, the door will slowly open. You know, you could adjust how far you want to open it. You know, like, just kind of like a creep it open just a little bit and shine your flashlight around. Mm-hmm. But when you open up like a locker for like puzzles and stuff, you actually have to like click on the X button, and then you have to like flip, you know, the little nubbin around in whichever motion you want it to do to, like, you know, flip the latch.
Like you're doing like a combination lock kind of thing?
Well, like if there's like a little hook latch on it, you have to, like, you know, click on the latch, then you have to flip it up, and then you have to actually move it over. Or if you have like a bottle of, I guess a better description would be, there's like some bottle of pills in the game. Yeah, you actually have to like pick up the pills, and you have to like rotate the little analog stick around to like rotate the pills to drop, you know, drop one out of the bottle. Sounds and like I can totally right. see it like on the, you know, that's on the weird. On the Wii, you know, just like flipping, you know, flicking your wrist to do that kind of stuff. I can totally see how they got that mechanic. But they, I guess they sort of mildly translated it to the PSP's control scheme.
See. Does sound a lot like Heavy Rain, though.
Yeah, actually.
In terms of, you know,
control.
Doing, you know, elaborate
things with the controller.
Things with the controller to do minor tasks.
Yeah. But, yeah, Shattered Memories, I mean, it's interesting. Like I said, it's very lonely. There's, like, hard, except for, like, when you're in a nightmare, there's, like, no enemies around. So you just, like, basically walk around Silent Hill, you know, just by yourself looking for your daughter. And occasionally you'll run into someone and you, like, you talk to them a little bit, and then, like, the nightmares come through and you can't do any damage to the creatures. So
right, you just run from them.
Yeah, you just run from them. Yeah, and they just jump on your back.
Right, same thing on the Wii.
Yeah, same thing on the Wii.
If they jump on the back, they get to shake your...
For this one, you just have to hit, like, you know, the buttons that can basically which direction they're attacking you from.
Okay.
So if they're attacking from your left side, you hit the square, right side, the circle, you know, stuff like that, X and the triangle.
But no story changes, no big story changes?
I didn't play it on the Wii, so I'm not sure about story changes.
I thought you did.
No, that was Dennis.
Oh, shit. Dumbass. Okay, yeah. Never mind.
But no, so far I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's kind of crazy. When I was in California, my cousin brought out his Wii, and we played a little bit of Punch-Out for the Wii. And, yeah, it was all right. Other than that, since I got back, been playing Heavy Rain.
Yeah. So I've been playing Heavy Rain, except RJ.
Yeah,
been able to find a copy.
Yeah, not until the show started.
And we'll talk about that later.
Yes, I've been playing stuff. I played Dante's Inferno. I played that and beat that.
Beat it, really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I went through it and I got hooked.
That's awesome.
I really enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
What did you think of it?
I'm more surprised that I liked it. I don't know. I think I like it so much is because I really expected not to, and it surprised me so much that it was just like, wow, I really, really like this game, and just kept playing it and playing it. Got through it. It's got a new game plus mode that keeps all your fucking stats and everything when you go through it again. Yes, it's awesome.
That's a hell of a thing to...
That's sort of the same thing that happened to you, right? You weren't expecting to like it, but you kept playing and... Couldn't put it down.
I had expected to preview it very briefly.
Yeah.
And I haven't played it very deep, but my first taste lasts for a very long time. I kept reaching a point where I could stop and then just sort of not stopping.
Oh man. I had probably 7 moments like that on one of my playthroughs where it's just like, here's a save point. All right, let me see what's around this corner here.
That's what it is. Let me see what's going on
shit.
Up here.
You get into a battle and you're like, well, I've already started this. I better get to the next save point because I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. And then you hit a boss and you're like, I may as well just go ahead and finish.
Yeah, I may as well. I'm at the boss. I'll quit at the beginning of the next level. And
we don't normally know you
thing.
To go through games quickly. So that's really something.
Well, I will say this. I did play it on easy.
Mm-hmm.
Only for the fact that I know games like that. I've already told you. I cheated God of War when it was on PS2. I used fucking codes and shit so I wouldn't die while I was playing it. Games like this, and Darksiders was the same way, is that just the shit you're doing is so repetitious. Is that if it's on hard and I gotta stay there and fight that, you know, mini baddies forever how long and then do it again just not 3 more minutes down the line, it just gets on my fucking nerves. So if I put it on easy, I can get through the waves quick enough to where everything is pretty much fresh as far as the scenery and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I can just keep getting to the next shit that I got to do, rather than stopping for, you know, 10 or 15 to kill a wave, playing, you know, moving through the level for 3 and then doing another 10 or 15 worth of killing going on, which is the same fucking shit. Because I don't really learn those combo moves and press just button mash, you know. So I put shit like that on easy and go through it, and it was a blast to play. I loved every minute of it that I was playing. There was a few aggravations that I could see being the case, because you got it, RJ.
Yeah, I've rented it.
And you played it, I'm sure, on the hardest level. You started on the hardest level with it,
well,
right?
Well, you have to beat the game first to put it on the hardest level, but I put it on
the hardest you could at the time.
The hardest you could at the time. But the only difference, really, flipping through that is... the amount of damage that the enemies take off when they hit you. And I think there's a slight modifier in how much damage they could take.
Mm-hmm.
In terms,
but
of
it's like, normally on your end of what you can do.
Yeah, you know, just.
Are you weakened any? Other than maybe them being able to take off more health than
maybe,
usual.
Maybe not necessarily weakened. They just probably can just take a little, slight little more damage than usual.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't noticed not a big jump in. I haven't noticed a big jump in how much they could take. But my thought, I was playing the game too, and I've pretty much felt the same way. It's not a bad game. Not as bad as everyone was trying to make it out to be.
Yeah, it's not. And I know there's a lot of comparisons between God of War, but the thing I kind of. Yeah, the thing that I noticed that was, I mean, yeah, the fucking, yes, the similarities are there.
Yeah.
Except there are things that they've done differently. And we covered this last episode with giving you a projectile with a holy cross, which
yeah.
The first playthrough I did, I went completely unholy with everything I did. I didn't earn a single bit of the blue holy stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't earn one bit of that stuff.
Yeah, I did the opposite.
I don't know why. I think I started thinking maybe there was an achievement for it or maybe whatever. I was just like, hey, let's be consistent and go this one way with it.
Yeah, all the way if it's like it a lot is. Of talent trees, then a single playthrough isn't going to allow you to max either one out. So to see the full potential of one or the other, you need to be more or less exclusive.
Yeah, and well, that's what I did. I went exclusive unholy, which, mm-hmm. from what I understand, is on easy, that doesn't matter. Keep in mind, on easy, none of that shit matters. I'm sure on a more difficult level, you want to go holy first because of what it does for your cross.
Yeah,
because like having that projectile fully powered up is fucking awesome.
If I understand correctly, unholy is, I'm sorry, holy is the more defensive, the more, it's the survivability tree.
Yeah,
to some extent, because you get the powerful ranged attacks,
yeah.
you get more options to keep, yeah, it does that to me like twice a day at work.
It's always fun.
You have options for dealing with enemies at range successfully.
Yeah, I think Unholy Scythe maxes modifies your scythe.
Yeah, it does that in your magic.
And your magic and the Holy Scythe just boosts up that cross, which is money in this game.
Yeah.
It really is money in this game when you fill it up.
The it does that, but later on you get to upgrade the fact that the enemies from now on, once you buy this power, will only dispense the magic. What is that? Mana, I guess? Whatever.
Mana. Purple.
Yeah,
mana.
Purple stuff. Yeah. Whereas if you go holy by the time you get there, which I think is level 6, then they dispense health.
Yeah. On holy side, I think it's a mental tap and health tap, spiritual something. Oh, no, yeah. One gives health, one gives mana. Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I went unholy through the first playthrough. Now I'm going back doing holy, which, by the way, takes a little bit longer because all of the, I can't remember what they're called, but the people when you have that option to do the punish or absolve.
Punish or absolve.
It's automatic absolution, isn't it? Isn't there a thing where you automatically
if you find
absolve?
All three Beatrice Stones,
yeah.
You'll get automatic absolve. Yeah. However, you don't get souls when you use that.
Hmm.
It does not give you the souls for that. In other words, when you do it the other way, when you do the mini game to absolve, you get a soul buildup. You get, you know, you're building up how many souls you'll get once they absolve by how fast you play that little quick time game.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you auto absolve, there's a set limit on how many souls you get when you auto absolve. So you don't get the maximum you need.
Hmm.
I missed the third Beatrice Stone when I was going through it on Unholy Side, so I'm actually kind of glad. But I think there's an option.
Okay.
You can either punish, absolve, and then Y is auto-absolve if you have that ability. So you don't necessarily have to, you're not automatically locked into that.
Auto-absolve simply means you don't have to go through
the mini-game.
The little quick time event or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, for the sake of convenience, just make it move things along a little faster if you want to do that. Do it that way.
Yeah.
I think it's a great effort. I think it's a really neat game, deserving entirely of its own sphere of opinion, you know, and I'm interested to see how they manufacture a sequel.
Yeah.
You know, what they learn from this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if it goes if it's so much like God of War, and if it goes that route, then the second one's going to be, I'm going to love it.
Yeah,
I'm going to enjoy the fuck out of it. With how much I enjoyed this. And the other thing that I started on and got off on a tangent with was the other thing they did different, other than giving you a projectile, which God of War does not have, or, you know, a big-ass ranged weapon, are the relics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think God of War has anything comparable to this. You know, you get three. I think you get three relic slots.
I know. You can open one up in the holy side. I'm not sure if you can in the unholy side.
Well, then you get four because you can. You can open up one in the unholy. And you open up another one in the holy side. But the relics are just like these constant power ups. Like, you know.
Yeah, the more you keep them on, the more they build up.
That sort of thing. One extends your combo time in between whatever, which is something you need later on in the in the eighth circle of fraud.
Let's see. There's the ones I was using was the one that constantly builded up your mana.
I was using one that gave me more souls.
Mm-hmm.
For when I was killing.
Yeah.
I used another one that had me take less damage, but that was like a third one that never really got leveled up too much because I got it pretty late in the game.
I think I bought that in the holy side, divine armor.
There was another one I was using too, and I can't remember which one it was. I'm not exactly sure. It may have. Oh, it was that they can't dodge my light attacks.
Hmm.
The light attacks that I had, the enemies couldn't dodge them anymore. So, like, my grab would work if they were just a little bit... It used to have to be pretty much pinpoint, but now it's just like, man, throw it out there and grab them, and then I could punish or absolve.
I was using one where enemies couldn't interrupt you when you were throwing out your projectile attacks. I put that on. As soon as I saw what it did, I was just, put that on quick.
Exactly. That's another thing that makes it stand out from this. I didn't know either that you could talk to Virgil multiple times.
Yeah.
And that he gives you shit if you talk to him multiple times. Yeah, if you talk to him multiple
times, occasionally he'll throw out a relic.
I didn't know this until level 7, or the 7th circle. Because I missed what he said, and and the button popped back up, and I thought, well, let me hit it again and hear what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of him talking, Dante asks him a question.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, shit. There's. So I started going through everything.
It's usually what is this place?
There's this whole education of like the circle you're in, mm-hmm. or at least the section of that circle that you're in. There's this whole education of it, mm-hmm. and I adore shit like that. So I want to go back through on my second playthrough here and get it. I'm actually thinking of picking up the game from GameFly since it's down to about $35. I think I'll actually buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So
now that I've seen that some of the early libel regarding what the actual level design was like is untrue, I'm more interested in the long term.
Can you refresh me on that?
Before the game came out, people were saying that the level design was basically... that it was kind of garbage. That it was all simply... that the entire thing was just arena-based. Mm-hmm. That there was actually no sense of place, no sense of progression. That it was all just... arenas and things like that. And I playing the game, and I was like, maybe here or there, but that's hardly a consistent truth of the level design. I know it's an opinion, but it very much smacked of, I don't know, it felt like they were trying to damn the game. I didn't know, but having played it, I know that's just simply not true.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you go around, you go to certain areas, you know, here and there and whatnot, and just keep working your way down. There is a sense of progression.
Everything you come to, it's always go down.
Go down.
Yeah. I thought that it was very apparent. But at the time we heard about the DLC...
Mm-hmm.
The thing that they were talking about in the DLC was obviously going to be centered around the...
arena fighting.
Arena-style fighting and stuff like that. And knowing that the game is not quite what I expected it to be, I am a little more interested now in terms... or interested in specifically the kinds of things you can build and do with other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the point of a purchase, but I have a greater interest than I did. So if you pick it up... I would be very fascinated by what you could build later on.
Yeah, I really loved the ending. I won't go into it, but you know, I just loved.
I would like to know how much like the book it is. But
have you beaten it yet?
I've read the book.
Yeah.
I'd like to know how much like the book it is. Okay. And I have read the book.
So you haven't beaten it yet.
No.
I mean, I just
you know, I can.
Do you want to ask a question and say yes or no?
What's funny is I can imagine a perfect World of Warcraft raid encounter designed around, Satan in Dante's Hell, like frozen in a lake of his own tears, throwing fistfuls of Judas Iscariots at me, or whatever, like, you know. I don't know, whatever, like, you know, God, 30 pieces of silver. You know? I suppose that's what he should drop in addition to any gear. You know? Like, Iscariot's offhand and 30 pieces of silver. So, but whatever. Like, what was I saying? In my mind, I've been able to picture it forever.
Yeah,
I've had that same picture in my head since high school. So, I was serious last week. I have no intention of holding it against the book. In the rare occasions that I saw it doing sort of the book like things, so it's like, oh, that's awful cute. I didn't need you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need it at all.
Yeah, and I'm coming from a different perspective.
No, so I would like, I think, to play it. Another week goes by and I haven't played it yet. Then I'm not going to be terribly concerned about. What the ending is. So at that point, I'll just let you go ahead and spoil it for me, if we get there, and it doesn't look like I'm going to finish it.
Okay. So anyway, I don't, like last week, I had only played, or I'd only gotten the interest, my interest was piqued as far as the whole, the background of it, the literature, that sort of thing, but without reading the poem, and without going through all of that, and I just went to Wikipedia. That was it. And so, there's some illustrations there, and I could see what some of the interpretations of the Circles of Hell would look like.
Right.
And of course, I went through the complete thing until I got to where, you know, Lucifer's at. You know, he's supposed to be in a frozen river of his tears and that sort of thing. And so, when I got down there, I was really impressed with how they did that. Now, it's a 3-stage boss battle,
sure. But,
you know, the first stage is exactly what you think it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly that. So, but yeah, let me know if you don't get through it. I'll definitely spoil the ending because I really loved what they did.
Yeah.
It's the thing. Yeah, anyway, never mind. Never mind, I'll tell you later. Because you finished it and I want to tell you. So. Anyway, I played that and I played very little of Heavy Rain. I played, I didn't get it until yesterday from Gamefly. I didn't get home from work until about 7 or 7:30. Had to do the install, the patch update, then the install. Of the game,
yeah,
and I played through until they did the first character switch.
Okay,
I spent a shit ton of time playing that one guy though.
At the beginning, the breakfast.
Well, yeah, because it's just like, I mean, any game I get, I want to explore like, the house, all the shit. And normally, I'm allowed the time to do that. Not really the case here. It didn't seem.
Normally, you don't have a nagging ass wife.
Yeah. Well, it did, like he kept saying, he's like, I should get dressed before going upstairs. Now, I think you have enough time to mess around upstairs before you do that. But apparently, once you get dressed and go downstairs,
that's when it starts.
There
timer.
Is a set. There's a set amount of shit you do before she comes home with the kids.
Yeah.
Because it took me forever. Because I was like, well, let's turn on the TV. Oh, I could turn on the TV. Let's see what this does. Oh, I can do this. I didn't get to go out to the garden.
Yeah. See, I didn't turn on the TV. I went to the drawing room and did some work.
I didn't even find the drawing room until after they were home.
Yeah.
And I was searching for the kid who had gone upstairs to, you know, mess with his bird or whatever. So, but yeah, that's just the kind of stuff that I wanted to do. And I realized that it's a little bit different for a game like this, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of made me, I guess, rethink what I will do from now on in this game. I will think everything is on a kind of limit as to what I can do, so I better get the fuck moving. I suppose. I don't know. This is very strange. Because I feel the story's going to unfold regardless of what I do.
Yeah.
It's just going to unfold in a different way, depending on what I've done.
Yeah, I suppose. I can see
that.
I
don't know. I don't think any of us have beaten this game
so far.
So.
Because, yeah, I know, so...
I mean, I could have stayed there and not turned on the TV. I could have just stood there, and she would have come home regardless of what I did.
The demo was like that, too.
And that's something I never did, by the way.
The demo was like that, too. There was a part where you're asking someone questions, and there's, like, maybe 8 to 10 different things you could ask the person, but they only allowed you to have 4. Before
Before the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. So then it would automatically go to the next part. So that's probably
that's going to bug the shit out of me.
one thing I noticed.
This game's very much designed to not cater to your particular thing.
Oh.
Where you want to, you know, find a particular meter to fill or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because it has no indicators anywhere in the game as to how much of a certain thing you've done. Or you just play the game and you make choices.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You don't know which of those choices close off other choices or which ones open up other ones.
Because a little bit later on, I mean, not too far much, I'm not giving too much away, but there's a press conference that the police does. And the police captain actually asks, hey, if you want to come in, you know, listen to the press conference, you can. And the first time I was, like, running around that level, I didn't do it. And then when I got into the room, it just finished it. And I'm like, well, I just missed the whole thing. Because I was expecting it to be, once I got in there, that would trigger the
event. It would always be there for you, right.
No, but, so you had to do it almost, you know, right away. And the second time, I loaded it up, and I went there, and I heard the press conference. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Because it has its own little internal clock that it does. It didn't really cater to your, you know, it doesn't wait for you to trigger events. It just does it. And mm-hmm. If you're there to listen to it or to catch it, then that's one thing. If you're not, then, you know, maybe second playthrough, you might find something different.
Well, with something like this, though, it's like, how do I remember what I did this early in the game? It almost makes it feel like I need to start making notes of these choices that I'm making so that I go back through.
You're
gonna
find some way to be obsessive about this, aren't you?
That's just one of those things, man. I was really upset when I didn't get to pick some of the choices that I had that were floating around my guy during some of the scenes. Because I would pick something, and then he would either state what he was thinking or say out loud whatever it was. And then I'd, you know, either wait for the text to pop back up for the outspoken stuff, or press the trigger again to see what his mental thoughts were. And some of the choices that were there were not there.
Well, it's not going to give you time to do that either, because if you wait long
it's
enough,
not.
It'll
it's
just...
It's not. I understand.
You know,
it'll go away.
I'm just... Yeah. Obviously, it's... obviously, I'm going to have to bend it... or I'm going to have to bend my way of playing to the way it wants me to play. I understand that. So I do plan on doing it... I do plan on going through it again, obviously, because I know, apparently, there's plenty of different outcomes to what you can do in the game or how the game...
Allegedly.
...unfolds. Yes, allegedly.
I know Jeremy is a little farther than me. You said you actually made it to the first character swap?
Yeah, that's it. That's as far as I got.
Okay, so as I was telling James and Jeremy yesterday when I stopped in here, that it seems like an interactive movie, but in a better way than Metal Gear Solid was, or some of the other interactive titles, where when things get frantic, I actually feel kind of frantic in it. And you know, when you're chasing Jason around, you know, your son.
How did that honestly make you feel at all frantic?
Well,
and this is an honest question, which I'm not just trying to take the piss out of you.
Yeah.
How did you buy into such an unbelievably cardboard, stiff, total hokey bullshit scene?
I don't know.
Because the edge of the screen got fuzzy? I quit not long after that.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and say this. I don't give a fuck about the mechanics.
Okay.
The counterclockwise swirl that you have to do on the fucking joystick, like, man, that's fine. I don't give a shit about that. I mean, quick time event? I can quick time event. I've been quick time eventing since I don't even know. Yeah, that's fine. I actually think the controls are fine. I'd rather not have to hold a button to move around, but whatever. That was no hurdle. The problem is that the game is just the game's only job. This game's not, like, really a Twitch game. There's some QuickTime stuff, and it's no bullshit QuickTime stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're not fucking around. Like, they're really not. They
put the quick in QuickTime.
No, they do. They actually do demand quite a bit of you have to really pay attention. Whether what you're doing with that QuickTime matters at all is another discussion. The problem is, it makes very clear what this game is about. This game's about telling you a story. And in my opinion, I'm not that far. I'm still hanging out with the kid that isn't... Whatever. I'm hanging out with my kid.
Yeah.
I have not been able to buy...
That's Sean.
Sean? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Kid singular. Whatever. I can't buy into it at all. It's so... That entire sequence of events, the one you're talking about specifically, was I know the point is to get. I know what the point is. I know the point of that is to get to the next bit. But the outcome was the antithesis of my efforts. And I was like, Jason's walking away. And so I walk after him, and I'm like, Jason. And he's 2 feet away from me. But no, the game has already determined that we're going to go down to the balloon clown, you know? And then I buy the kid a balloon, the unbelievable child, the absolutely, completely unrealistic child, a balloon. And the first thing he does is, like, makes an Olympic sprint out of the mall, down the stairs, and across the street. Like, the whole thing was... It was preposterous. And I could not, for the life of me, feel at all invested in it because the situation was so preposterous. I was annoyed that I had to go through it because, like, it became very clear that this is not... There is no fail check. There is no pass check. There is only fail. And I could tell that. And it's like, well, then you literally are an interactive movie, which I'm not gonna step on his ideas, but Jeremy handled that quite well when he and I were talking about it earlier. But I don't see how you can be invested in a scene like that. I thought it was so horrifyingly stale and wooden. And I knew what they were doing, and I get it, and I'm not trying to be harsh on them. It's
well, all right, like, you know,
certainly a pleasant earlier thing to see someone try this.
Yeah. Before, you said, like, when you go see movies, you just put your brain on check, and you just, like, sort
that's
it
that's because my entire job is to sit there on my fucking ass and absorb. It is an entirely passive experience. That is the difference.
Yeah.
Video games will never be an entirely passive
experience. Because you're interacting.
But to that point, and this is what I
else
say.
Else they aren't video games, they're machinima. So.
If it really is trying to be an interactive movie, which is what... a lot of people and the developers have kind
and
of
that's
described
okay.
it as.
And that's is absolutely cool, that's fine. Man. And it's totally great.
Then, like, I feel that it's perfectly legitimate to critique it based on the same things I would critique a movie on.
Yeah.
The dialogue, the plot, the its presentation.
The acting,
yeah. And
the set design.
And, man, it doesn't do very good on a lot of those things.
But all right, for that scene, though, for me, what really got me into it was when, after the creepy-ass clown, you know, clowns are my spiders, basically.
Sure.
But after, you know, that, when he's up and he sees his kid down on the first floor, you know, wandering around with the balloon, when you go down the stairs and just, you know, the camera gets, you know, kind of unfocused... And, you know, I hold down the L2 to, you know, get, like, the thoughts or whatever. And they're kind of, like, really shaky and just, like, you could tell, like, he's kind of scattered in his head and his thinking. He's, like, kind of frantic in that way. And I'm constantly scanning above people's heads for that red balloon and stuff. That, you know, that's what got me into it. That is, like, all right, I'm, like, really looking for it. I'm, like, all right, where is he?
Now,
like,
see, that moment that was done well, but it was sandwiched in between a bunch of things that didn't work.
Yeah.
I would even argue that moment was not done especially well to be a piece of reality. This was this guy's reality. The closest thing I could compare it to, I know this is, you will understand my comparison, was the Max Payne nightmare sequences.
Yeah, okay.
Between levels. Those made a whole lot more sense to me because they were insane nightmare sequences. You knew that they were a fail state because he was reliving a nightmare he was reliving his own failures.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be a really sort of prosaic, if gameplay could be prosaic, this is supposed to be the unfolding of a narrative, not the reliving of a nightmare. This is supposed to be me in the event in the moment. And in that respect, I think it failed completely because it started acting like a nightmare. It started acting in such a way that there's nothing I can do to fix it. And so I'm not insulted, but I felt the difference is very subtle. It wasn't revulsion. It was simply a matter of, I don't think you did a good job bringing me into this moment because everything is so absurd. I didn't lose the kid because I'm a super inattentive father. I lost the kid because the game won't let me pull the money out from the pocket where I know it is. And because the kid obviously has a death wish. And because he's too stupid to not cross a busy street twice in a row. Or it was a sequence of events that I know it's my job to participate in and appreciate as a viewer. And for some reason I can't figure out how those two are supposed to work together. Again, so the screen went fuzzy and my guy panicked, and it's like panic in a video game is I might fail. I might screw this up. I might not succeed. I might be punished in some regard. Any of these things. That doesn't exist during that sequence of events.
You knew what the outcome was regardless of what you did.
And I mean, I know maybe I'm not supposed to. So
I knew what the setup was.
There's no way to be interested in playing this game and not know what the outcome of that sequence is.
Yeah, it's a little tough. And yeah. Maybe not the game's fault because of that. But I just everything from the minute I woke up, I apparently sleep till noon. Okay, everything.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying.
Before you go back to that, I want to talk about a little bit more about that. Just what happened before and after the part Matt was talking about. After they go into the store and they leave you out there,
yeah.
And he wanders off,
yeah.
And you're saying Jason, yeah. And he's just wandering off, and like you finally catch up to him. He's like, hey, you know, you shouldn't walk off like that. He's like, I want a balloon. He's like, okay, you can have a balloon is the response to that? That doesn't make any sense. That's not realistic. Also, like, the kid's, this is something James pointed out, he's 10 years old, and he's, like, getting all jazzed up about a red balloon, which I thought was a little weird, you know, when it happened. But 10-year-old boys don't be like, oh, my God, I want a red balloon, you know, on their birthday.
It's not that there's anything wrong with liking red balloons. If I got a red balloon on my birthday, I'd think pretty cool balloon, you know?
Yeah,
I play with it until I, for like 5 minutes that it takes me to get it untied and suck in the helium, right? Red balloons are fine.
Had I known this, I'd have saved a lot of money on Microsoft point cards over the past couple of years.
His enthusiasm for that balloon was completely overblown.
Yeah, it was.
The problem with that is that the entire thing, because we're obviously, and I don't envy them the task of doing what they set out to do, and I don't really want to come across as just being mean to the game. But they're the ones that chose to walk this line. This was never presented to them as an ultimatum. You will make a game that tries to straddle two fundamentally different styles of entertainment. It was their choice, and I will critique them on it, even if the critiques seem petty.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't choose to bring so much of myself to the game. You're asking a lot of passive enjoyment from me, so I believe you need to really step up your game. And this third-rate D-list voice acting will not stand. Like, I'm sorry, but I know you're a French developer, but God damn it, you set the game in America.
Yeah.
That was your decision. You should not have had what absolutely must have been a French team overseeing the localization.
Yeah, it's
horrible.
I haven't heard any other characters other than, like, after that first character switch, when you're the big fat guy, I guess he's the detective. The private detective, whatever. I haven't even heard him speak yet. So I've only heard all the characters before then speak. And yes, the voice acting in this is...
The private guy, he sounds...
Maybe it changes. I don't know. Maybe it's different, because I haven't heard any other characters other than there.
Which would surprise me, because every line of dialogue that I heard up to the point where I quit just was like, whatever. I mean, I didn't get upset with it. It was just late, and I hadn't gotten far. I had to do a system update on top of the...
Oh, shit. You're that far behind?
Yeah.
Wow.
I had to do a system update on top of the game update. Then the installation failed because there wasn't enough install space, so I had to delete some stuff into the installation.
Damn.
It was like 2 hours before I played the game, because I would set it up to do whatever it did and then walk away.
Yeah.
And then come back. And so anyway, that's not the game's fault. I'm a little sad that people like Matt got the origami and I didn't.
But yeah. I know, and it's sitting there telling you. That's crazy. I was like, oh, shit, I don't want a piece of paper I can fold.
But
fuck.
No, it's just the dialogue was really terrible. And yeah, the kid wants a balloon. I'm not saying the game is bad because he wants a balloon. I'm saying that was yet another mark, even at that early point in the game, against believability,
mm-hmm.
against the tangibility of the characters. They felt like flimsy puppets to me. They didn't feel like anything real.
And he didn't just go wandering off through the mall. you know, which I guess...
He had a beeline. He was going straight.
Yeah. Which
he was
I guess, a kind of stupid, obstinate, really bratty kid might do, just walk away from his dad knowing he's not supposed to, having just been reprimanded for it.
Yeah.
He walked out of the fucking mall and across the street. I mean...
Maybe he's mildly retarded.
Like, it's just... I can't understand where that comes from. I'm supposed to... The only thing I can correlate that to is just some of the worst behavior I see in children.
Yeah.
And, like, I
I'm
supposed to, you know, feel really bad for this kid and in this situation. But let me ask you another question, though.
Yeah.
This is another mark against that entire thing. Who got hit by the car?
It looks like I thought that he got hit.
No, you didn't think. It's very fucking...
He got hit when he jumped into the car.
He pushed
the main character.
Kid.
Yeah, he...
Yeah, well, took the father. Full brunt.
Yeah, the father. He being the father, yeah.
It looked like, as he grabbed the kid, he turned it and, you know, hit him in the back.
Jeremy and I watched it on YouTube.
Got hit in the fucking spine by that car.
We watched it on YouTube, and he, like, grabs the kid and pushes the kid kind of in front of him and sort of pushes him down, like, grabs him and stuff, and takes the full brunt of the impact. But again, that quick, the scene is designed to make you think that the kid was just absolutely destroyed by the impact. Which would have been very easy to set up. Just have the dad be two seconds too late.
Yeah.
And the kid be hit. But again, there's a huge... I'm like, okay, what happened? Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm supposed to intrinsically understand the kid died, but... How, but I seem fine. I mean, I know it's 2 years later, but I...
And even in that moment, if you want to try to fan wank it and say, well, he might have been injured, but it's been 2 years. Well, the mom runs up and starts screaming, "Jason, Jason!" She's not concerned about you in the least. And in that type of accident, man, I'm sorry, we'd have both been laying fucking bloody on the pavement.
And it's another thing that doesn't feel right. If I saw it in a movie, I'd be like, oh, this is dumb. I don't like the way you wrote this scene because that's how it is. I understand what it was for. I don't want to poo-poo it too much. The whole point was simply to move the ball down the field.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that it was expertly handled at all. I don't think that the writing is very good, and I seriously think that the voice acting is very much below par for what we should expect out of something that is almost entirely story-driven. The house sequence was kind of okay. I thought they did a really good job of establishing a sense of space. And then making me feel bad for trying to invest myself in it. It was always another thought I absolutely had to be examining. I don't know. I'm going to take a shower and, like, shave myself and stuff. The controls, I thought it was fun. I was like, yeah, you got to do it slowly or else I fuck it up, you know. It's okay. I absolutely don't have any problem with that. But I just don't think it's... You know, I was sort of hoping that there was, and I know this isn't the case, I know it by asking around, but, you know, you're having a sword fight with your kid out in the backyard.
Yeah.
And I lost the sword fight because, you know.
That's what dad's supposed to do.
Dad, you know.
I didn't.
Okay. Did he still die for you? Did he die the same way? Was your behavior toward the kid in the second part of that the same? As what we're talking about here? Does it seem like you had the same... When Jason was hit by the car, does that whole sequence of events pretty much sound the same for you as it does for us?
That section, yeah. That section was... didn't carry weight with me or anything.
No. What I'm saying is, does it sound like what we had, based on what we just said?
Did the events unfold? Like, was it too? Was it splitting?
I'm sorry. I'm being too calm. The point is, that would have been a very good... That, if you're playing my heartstrings, would have been the kind of thing to influence later...
Yeah,
like
if you were to beat the kid, then
how I behave toward him when he's running away maybe would be different. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Things worked the same way for you that they did for me.
Yes.
Even though you had an option to do something very emotional, and subtle and very beautiful in a respect, it turns out to mean absolutely nothing.
Right.
I wish now that I find it to be a poor imitation of a thing. So now I'm a little upset that I let the kid win the sword battle. Because he was a little prick. I mean, he just wasn't a likable kid. He wasn't a believable child.
He got a hit on me. I mispressed one of the buttons, and I thought, I thought, okay, is it going to automatically take that misstep that you're bound to have doing the repetition over and over again, and you know,
no, I just
cut scene and let the kid win.
Yeah.
It didn't. I had the neck. You know, we kept
put
fighting.
Sword, yeah.
And I was able to.
Yeah, I gave him continue. A good back and forth.
Yeah, I did. I thought I did a good job.
It was like
well.
You know,
would have been nice
you get
to,
some hits in, so you know. Don't. You don't want
to
make it. You know, like you don't want to make the kid think he's. You know that you're throwing it on purpose.
Yeah. But, you know, he kicks your shin and
yeah.
Well, like, even when I was shaving, I was like, what happens if I do, what happens if
see,
I fuck this up? I did that, and it's just like a, oh, I didn't really get that part.
Yeah, no, I noticed
oh,
that.
Oh, I didn't really shave that off. Oh, I didn't really.
But
it
now I wish
like,
that I had, now I wish that I had fucking discus thrown all that china into the back of my
stomach. I meant to try that, too. I meant to try it.
I don't want to just break it. Like, I hate
it. If I have a second playthrough, I'm absolutely going to, you know. Do everything different. I'm gonna, you know, beat the crap out of the kid when
I haven't
fight him in the swords. I'm gonna destroy that china.
I wonder if you can let him go when you're doing the helicopter.
No, I can't. I tried, or I didn't on purpose try. I just
I'm gonna keep spinning him until he pukes.
And he doesn't. But I was curious though.
But see, here's the thing: if you could do any of that,
yeah,
I wouldn't be sitting here saying so many bad things
right,
about the
right,
game.
Right,
you can't
right.
do any of these things. And furthermore, I think the localization. I know they're French, but I know. But it seems like they've made virtually no effort to understand the colloquialisms of a Western audience. Maybe that's not even like their main target. Right. But again,
who,
you set
who
your
had
game
trouble finding the dishes?
I did.
The china.
Bitch said they were in the living room. She kept saying they're in the cupboard in the living room. In the living room.
Didn't have any problem. I went right by the table, and they were there.
In what room?
I would say the dining room.
Yes, it's in the dining room.
It's in the dining room.
Because I went to the place where there's a couch and a coffee table and a television set.
That's the
and I'm looking
room.
Around, and she started griping at me. And I'm like, you fucking said the living room, so I'm in the living room. And no, I went over to this tiny little sideboard in the thing. And because Dana was like, oh shit, I think she means the dining room. And I was like, well, she should fucking say,
she
the, dining
say
room.
The dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's like, she's already kind of griping at me. And it's like, well, you said the living room. I'm going to the living room. This is just yet another example, I think, of strange localization things and just very weird hiccups in the storytelling. Why is the dead bird laying out in the middle of the floor? The kid says it's his fault, and I don't even ask
no,
him
why?
About it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's not your fault. Well,
I just
I don't
saw
that
bird 20 minutes ago.
I just checked on the
tweeting.
Bird and he was fine. You know,
well,
like,
you know.
It's just, it's a bunch of tiny little things that absolutely shatter the believability for me. Not because I couldn't look past them, but because in all ultimate fairness to the discussion of this game, that's what the game's about. This game's not about shooty bangs. When the plot doesn't make sense in shooty bangs games, whatever, man. If the shooting's good, we overlook it. We talk about how it's crap. I think Modern Warfare's storytelling was crap, but if the gameplay was up to snuff, like, obviously, okay, there you go. But this game, I don't want anybody to think I'm just trying to be unfair, but the way I see it is if the game's trying to be a story. So every time you fuck up telling the story, I think you deserve to be called out on it. I think the characters are rigid and wooden. I think watching them try to kiss in the kitchen was one of the most uncomfortable things I've seen in a long time. It was like, you know, when you used to hold, like, Duke and Lady J's action figures together and, like, rub their plastic faces against one another.
Because their lips were not touching.
Right.
They come together, the lips aren't touching, but they're still kind of and then the camera goes back over their shoulders to an angle where you can't see that their mouths aren't actually touching. And
pulling
the camera back is a legitimate way to cover that up.
Sure.
But you should have done it before I saw the holes in your.
I don't remember the kiss.
Oh. It was really bad. It was like giant like puppet lips or something. It really was. It was awful.
I don't remember it. So I was thinking, did I not press a button to have it actually happen? Or
I don't remember it either.
I don't know. I tried because she was being like real cold to me. You know, she was. I was just like. I wonder if I'm going to like the way they built this relationship. And I don't know. The whole, it was just so funny. And maybe if you're French or maybe one of you guys over like in Europe can tell me. I mean, it's in New York, man. Like the flush button ain't on top of the toilet. I know where the fucking flush button is in America. Shit's like right there in the front, kind of on the side. Like, we don't really have latch door handles. Like, it was so many things that made the game feel very foreign to me.
That's why, it reminded me of Europe.
That house was foreign as fuck.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it, except for the fact they said it in New York.
Yeah, at first I didn't know it was New York, because I was trying to look at license plates to see. I'm like, all right, no, is this like Amsterdam? Where is this supposed to be at?
That's exactly where I was to begin
totally
with.
Thought it
and
was...
then in the second part, when you're picking your kid up from school, there's like George Washington Bridge.
Yeah, and I'm like, whoa, hey, what?
I think it was the Washington Bridge, either. I think it was. But the point, that's not that bad. That's not a big deal. The fact that the flush button's on the top of the toilet, I'm serious, is not something that's going to make me hate the game. I don't mean it that way. I just mean that, to me, it's fundamentally unlikable. There are some things that I did that were okay, but why are we getting the china out to just eat a quick lunch? Like, why? How come we have to come in and eat lunch because your birthday party guests are going to be here soon?
I was wondering about that, too.
That's the thing you do at birthday parties. That's what you do
at birthday parties. If I showed up at a motherfucker's birthday party, and he was like, God, I hope you ate, because we just... be like, oh, fuck you. I'm taking that G.I. Joe I just bought and going home. You know? Be like, cheap motherfucker. Where's my pizza? That's my pizza and Baskin-Robbins, or whatever. Like, so, again, it was like, maybe in Europe, you know... Stingy continental fuckers don't like having
the
lunch
press. The press conference you were talking about,
a
New York press conference about a serial killer. Any New York press conference really isn't as calm and collected as this thing was. He gets up there, he like says his piece. He's like, now I'll take questions. You, Mark questions, blah 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 blah. There was none of the like, oh, rubble 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 rubble.
You're a racist.
Ask me. You know, I've got a question. I'm going to talk over you. None of that. Like,
it was too polite.
Represents a very poor like, just understanding another, of our culture.
Just another little
or
thing
theirs,
that
for that matter.
Pulls me out of it. It's, you know, you're not really telling your story.
Well, when I was playing that whole sequence of losing the kid, I was like, I wondered. Because obviously it wasn't connecting with me, just like it apparently wasn't connecting with anybody else, or at least anybody else in this room. But I was curious.
It was connecting with me.
Well,
I liked
which
it.
Is strange.
I enjoyed it.
Because my curiosity was, I wonder what someone with kids playing this.
That's what I was wondering too.
I've wondered that forever.
Because I thought of you, and I thought of Spigot as well.
How would someone that has a younger child, how they relate to, like, oh my God, my kid was lost in the mall.
Brock, he's got a smaller kid.
Thing, my kid wouldn't.
But your kid's behaved.
Be a dick.
But not just that. The circumstances are not. If your kid was marching away from you at high speed in a mall, you wouldn't just sort of call after you. You would go get them.
Yeah.
People would be falling down because you would be going there, not.
And I wouldn't not go after my kid because the clown insists I own $2 for the balloon. I'll be like, dude, I'll be back. What are you going to do?
That's really what...
Attack me with your clown foo?
Yeah. That's really what it is. It's not about what the... Well, but my kid's well-behaved and this one isn't. That's not even it.
Yeah.
It's what... It just... I know, it's cool. Like, it... I get it, and I haven't played enough of the game. I don't mean to talk shit about the whole
game. Right, I am totally in no
but
place
just,
to...
I know where I'm supposed to be at this point. And I'm in this, second bit with the
there's,
guy.
There's two ways to look at it. You can either look at it as them telling you a story, a la a movie, in which case I don't think it's being told very well. Or two, it's interactive, and I'm supposed to be the character and making the decisions, in which case I'm not allowed to make the decisions I want to make.
Yeah.
So either way...
It's not exactly... But, it's...
What did you think of the fight sequence?
Oh, which one?
The first one.
Which one was the first one?
When you're the detective.
Oh, okay. I liked it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It's
basically Dragon Slayer. Anytime you have, like, a big... It is. Anytime you have a big action sequence, it's basically Dragon Slayer. And that I find nothing wrong with it. It was very fun. I liked that stuff.
When, I was saying yesterday, when I was playing through it, doing the fight sequence, I almost expected when the quick time event, started coming up, they'd give you, like, that 2 seconds, before the guy throws the punch to, hit the button, then he tries to throw the punch. But it didn't happen. It was, like, very fluid, where it just pops up, and if I don't hit the button in time, I get clocked in the face. Or if I do, then I get to block it and, smack him back.
I have a sneaking suspicion, though, that it may not really matter how well you do in those sequences. I won't know till I get to replay them, but
yeah,
I have a feeling that there's not many actions you take that are directly impactful, but cumulatively. I know the characters can each die, but yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't think there's like a single thing you right. can do to affect that.
Most games that give you choices, and I'll reference the Spider-Man. The fuck was that damn game subtitle of that fucking game? Web of Shadows.
Okay.
Whereas you had choices to be either go black suit Spidey or red suit Spidey in your choices. Red being good, black being a little, you know, on the less moral side of some of your choices. You got, I don't know, you probably had about 10 of those for the most part of the game. And then a section towards the end started giving you one right after the other. It was only until then that it mattered. Whereas I think in this game, every one of them matters because it just adds a little bit as to how this is going to play out towards the end.
I know.
Maybe. I don't know. But that seemed to be what you were sounding like you were saying, where it's cumulative.
Yeah.
In the choices that you make early on. Rather than it being, here's a choice that if you do this when you die, if you do this when you live.
It seems more like.
It's not like that. It's, if you do this one and you did these three others before it in this way, then you die.
Something like
I guess. That.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying, you know, word this where I don't give stuff away, but there's a sequence later on where I have the option to pick up a bottle and I'm assuming throw it at someone's head. But I didn't, you know, it had to be like the gentle pickup. And I didn't, you know, I botched that and he just dropped the bottle and this guy noticed me and he turned around. And, you know, then I had to, like, engage him in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if, like, if I was able to pick up the bottle, if I could have had that sequence gone differently instead of, like, you know, talking to him, I could have, like, you know, clobbered him. You know, I don't know if...
You're going to wonder that a lot, but I think most of the time the answer's going to be no.
I think you're assuming a greater range of possibilities. Mm-hmm. I think...
That's what it might be.
I don't know, yeah. But my guess,
you know what
just based on
I was
my...
talking about?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Just based on my brief experience with the game, I think it's more likely that he'd notice you anyway.
Yeah.
You know, that you're assuming, that you're applying your real situational logic to something that basically just wants you to get to point B, and, mm-hmm. and maybe they'll give you a different way of doing it. I don't want to slander it any further. I just know that I've come to at least one point of critical consequence. Right, which I'm assuming is the very first one of the game. It's the thing with Jason. And nothing I did before that changed it. So at least at the very end, I know one data point doesn't equal a trend, but
yeah.
I can't imagine me doing anything different that wouldn't have changed anything.
I think the game presents a pretty good illusion of choice and consequence, but...
Illusion's a
good word. I think a lot of it's going to unravel on the second playthrough.
Yeah, and illusion's not bad. I mean, pretty much this entire thing that we're obsessed with here is about illusion. It's mm-hmm. just about sustaining it. And I just don't feel like they just didn't pick me up. You know, they didn't. The game will continue to earn my attention, not because of their skill at telling this story. But by virtue of the fact that it is engaging to some extent, but it's a very unique experience. I can't do this anywhere else. I can't do anything like this anywhere else. There's not even, it's only vaguely reminiscent of what we used to play in the adventure game days, you know, it's.
Or a little bit of Shenmue was also what it kind of, to me, brings that feel about. Where you have, like, and you walk around and you feel like you have the option of doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. In that way, it is. I think Shenmue is much more Shenmue. You know? Like, it was, then Heavy Rain is Heavy Rain.
Okay.
And it just seems to have a weird identity crisis at some level. And who knows what that's related to. But, like, one of the things that freaked me out was watching the opening credits. You know, after the first thing. And there was like those random characters kind of standing there on the side of the screen.
When you had those close-ups of those people?
Yeah, which looked unbelievably fantastic. They just looked brilliant. The rendering engine is, I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But why? Your normal characters in the game aren't even in the same league as that. They're not rendered even remotely that well.
Although when it does the transition from one character to another, when it's loading them, it has like a very up close
of
that
character's
face. And it is kind of like that, but I wish they didn't use that model.
I know it is, but to what end?
Just in that sequence, yeah.
No. I think you're missing what I'm saying. There are these beautifully rendered characters who are obviously designed to say, look, we can create emotionally acceptable facsimiles of humans. And they did. They didn't look like generic video game characters. It wasn't just how well they were rendered. It was how well they modeled the tendencies of the human face to work in different ways. And they looked like people, believable people. The playable characters and the primary characters and the interactive characters in the game look stodgy and uninteresting in comparison. So why the contrast? Why even show me? Just here's a relatively still model of something that we can do really well. It's like, okay, well, that's all you're doing. It doesn't do anything interesting. It doesn't talk to me. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't do anything. Any video game engine can be put to task rendering a perfect version of something that doesn't do anything while the real work is being done by graphics that aren't quite advanced, you know? So it just seemed like a very odd... I don't know. I didn't like it. I liked the sensibility, you know? I liked how the whole thing was framed. I thought it was really interesting. I just didn't... It's like... none of the guys I'm playing with look like this and look even remotely this good. So why are you showing me this? Like, it's just weird, you know? And how much of that is because it's French? I don't know. A lot of it feels like watching a Luc Besson film.
Okay. Yeah.
You know? And a lot of it is just, you know, I don't like your story. Maybe this dialogue sounds really good if you're French. I don't know. Just, it hasn't done anything that I like yet. And I'm not far, so that's fine.
How far are you? Where are you?
I gave my kid his dinner, and I was like, man, fuck you. Put your own damn ass to bed.
What'd you give him? What did you feed him?
Yeah, I didn't give him dinner at all. I totally skipped past chicken.
I gave him pizza.
I gave him the
chipper chicken. Pizza. It's pizza.
Yeah.
Man, fuck you. That's my pizza. What the fuck am I going to give him pizza for?
He'll only eat one piece. He's
bullshit.
A kid.
I didn't eat one piece when I was 10 years old.
Well, he only ate one piece.
Well, I don't know that. This is why I didn't give him pizza.
Yeah. I gave him a snack.
You should have given him the pizza because it would give you another weird fucking, you know, French localization thing to bitch about. Kid ate his slice of pizza with a knife and fork.
Oh, yeah, it's totally... That's totally over there.
I was going to bring that up because you were talking about getting the china out for the birthday party or whatever, and I was like, well, when I fed him pizza, it's like, yeah, I got the plate, and then I got a knife and a fork. Then he ate it with the knife and it was strange. And also, that place that I live in has way too many doors.
Yeah.
That also have just screen doors that are just there. I mean, there was I had no option. Like, I was really scared when we first went into that apartment. I was off in the kitchen reading that writing on the kitchen wall telling me what times
to do everything
do everything to the kid. And I hear a door open and shut. I thought, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
somebody's in the house. And I turned around, nobody was there. Kid's back on the couch. I have no idea what he did. I think he went to the bathroom.
He did, because I came, I panicked.
Yeah, I thought, oh, shit, somebody's in the house.
And he had just gone in the shitter.
Yeah,
so.
He ran out for his brother.
But I wanted. I have an option. I have the option to turn on every single fucking light in that house.
Yeah.
But I don't have the option to lock every single door in that house, or to shut every door in that house, or that sort of thing.
Because it's odd. It's weird.
I know. I shouldn't expect that. No, but maybe I should. I don't know.
Here's the way I felt about it. We talk a lot of times about characters, individual entities living in the Uncanny Valley. Right, mm-hmm. Right at that point of belief, like where acceptability and believability are mm-hmm. in conflict. That's how I feel about the world of Heavy Rain. Like, I feel uncomfortable in this world. I don't, I'm supposed to really, you know, feel that I'm in it. And I feel it enough, but there's a sense of dread and a sense of, like, why am I here? Did I just wake up in a nightmare? Like, is this an episode of The Prisoner? You know? What's, like, I don't know, the kind of thing that you see in a weird sci-fi drama or a fantasy drama about, like, maybe this isn't my reality. Maybe, like, the Stargate actually did pass by a, you know, a solar flare again or something, and I'm in a slightly alternate reality where the toilet flusher button's on top, and it's a button. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, this is weird. You know, everything kind of rings true until it doesn't, and then I'm like, oh. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I have the uncanny valley reaction to the world as a whole, and I can't shake it. I wasn't able to shake it for the whole first, I guess, hour that I was playing. And it's like, this isn't, I don't know, it's not what I need. And I mean, I'm an American and I'm uncouth. And
does that mean the French don't wash their hands after they pee?
Most of your reaction to that, at least half of it, could have been alleviated by either taking the simpler route and setting it in Europe.
Or in nondescript.
France. Or, yes, some non, you know, yeah, just whatever.
Which is what I kind of wanted, I guess, nondescript city.
Mm-hmm. Or just paying a little bit more attention to the details of the world they were building in New York.
It's very funny. And I imagine, based on my survey of what people have said, it's not a terribly common thing for people to have my problems with it. Mm-hmm. But that's how I felt, and I just...
But the other half of it is just the writing and the delivery. That's, you know, just, through the voice actors.
It's,
so
it's not good, in my opinion. It's really not very good.
My final thought is on, for my opinion, is I haven't written the game off yet. I still am going to play it. I'll give that first section. I'll let it pass as being whatever that is, and
sure, yeah.
You know, that's it. Maybe I guess and assume
I'll say
that
I
don't have to deal
like
with kids anymore, or maybe I will. I have no. I see. I'm not far enough really to make any assessment,
right,
other than to
neither,
keep playing.
Neither of you are very far into
yeah.
it.
No.
And I will say, I think the story gets much more interesting.
That's good.
You know, the further you get into it, I don't think the delivery gets any better, but the story does get more interesting. So,
yeah.
and I'm definitely going to play it all the way through, and. At this point, I want to play through a second time
just to see how
much the whole thing unravels. On
I want
to
be like,
yeah.
I
don't know if I'll actually feel that way when I get through it. I guess it depends on how much time I have to spend with it. But we'll
and I've heard it's not too, it's not relatively, you know, very long.
Yeah,
I'm hearing about 10 hours.
Yeah.
I want to be like when Commander Riker realizes he's been suckered into an alternate reality,
mm-hmm.
and just stops fucking playing the game.
Yeah.
You know? Which I'm pretty sure is the second Commander Riker reference I've made to how I want to play a game in a while. I don't even fucking like Riker. He's better once he got the beard, but whatever. No, it's like, you know, just like, forget it. You know, I'm not playing your stupid game anymore. You know, and like the FACO projection, like, of Captain Picard gets all pissed at him, and he's like, shut up. You know, like, whatever. That's how I'm going to be. I'm going to be like, I just woke up in an alternate reality, you know? So, fuck you. I'm not putting your china out. What are you
doing? Putting those plates across this table.
You turned me down anyway. I went over there and like got all smooth on you and everything, and you're like, meh. And I was like, whatever. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. Fuck your mom's china. I'm going to go draw. I don't want that shit. Drawing my buildings.
Yeah, I never got to the drawing thing.
I did. How did you guys not do that? I guess because you went outside.
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah. I went outside.
I went and drew the building, which was, you know, it was kind of cool. It was
like I said, I didn't find the room that I even had. I didn't know I had a drawing room until it was time for dinner or lunch or whatever the fuck, and I had to go find my kid again. Am I looking for the same one that I'm looking for later? Jason?
No. Sean was the
one that was up with the bird?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Shows how much that stuck to me.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I thought that was, you know, it was cool.
I'm still curious to see if any parents out there actually.
And here's a small thing. I know. I drew the building. I went in there and I did my research all the way through.
Same
until
here.
It was complete.
Signed it.
And
everything.
And I. It was fun. It was a neat little like. Here's how we can do all the combinations of controls to create a situation, even though we're just doing an architectural drawing, a rendering. And I thought, okay, that's really neat. Here's because they're smart about the button combos, like hold X, now add, you know, square or vice versa. So they're not being really bad to you. There's nothing you can't do logically.
Yeah, it's not an or, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Not origami.
Sure, that's on the mind, yeah.
Yeah, I know. They always mispronounce that to me.
Whatever.
But,
he always mispronounced stuff to me, so. But no, I thought it was interesting. And I don't know if it matters in the future, but I do know that when I went upstairs in my second house and I went into like my abandoned little room, my full, that rendering that I made
was there.
Was there.
Mm-hmm.
On my drafting table. I saw it.
Where's the drafting table in the new apartment? I haven't
found that. In the new apartment?
I say the new one, the one 2 years later.
It's upstairs.
Okay.
Well, it's behind the closed door.
Obviously, I haven't.
You go upstairs and turn right.
I haven't done that yet.
Because you go upstairs and just go up off the stairs, and there's your bedroom and the kids' bedroom.
I will say when
and
I.
To the left is the bathroom. Immediately across from the bathroom is the drafting room.
See,
ergonomic. That was the word I was thinking of.
Okay. Hey.
Oh, sorry.
I just after the situation in the mall, I didn't go very far from my kid when I had him again. Because then I heard the door open and shut, and I didn't see him. So what did I do? I went to the front door, opened, went outside. It was raining. I come back. He's on the couch, and I'm like, okay. But I wasn't, because I knew where it was going. I knew what it wanted to do was to take that kid away from me. And I said, well, I'm not letting him go out of my sight.
I'll be actually kind of, I should be fair. That was an interesting thing, because I felt in that moment the discomfort between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God, what must this be like? What must life be like in a situation like that?
Mm-hmm.
It did make me think about that and, like, provided me with this sense of dread that this kid was going to go away and that was somehow a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of the kernel of an emotion, and it didn't really go any further. But I was, that's where I quit, but I don't want to say that that's because I was pissed off at it. It was just because I was like, okay, this is how far I've played, and I'm not really interested in doing any more road activities for this. Like, I don't want to fetch his snack and then check the time real quick and then, like, fix dinner. Oh, and you had a cough, so I have to feed you pills. Like, it was just, it was doing that a lot. I was like, I'm not here right now. I'm not into this. But
let me say, this is not a complaint about the game. This is just a fun little gripe I had. Like, I got to a part where there's a baby, and you have to, like, pick the baby up, change the baby's diaper, feed the baby, rock the baby to sleep.
Oh, Jesus.
And put it down without waking it up. And
can you shake the baby?
Never, ever shake the baby.
And, of course, I put the baby down, and I put it down too rough, and it woke up, and I had to rock it back to sleep again. I was like, motherfucker, if I want to do this, I can go in the next room and do this. Like, I know what a pain in the ass it is to get it to sleep and then put it down without waking it up. So fuck you for waking the baby up and making me rock it back to sleep again. I just want to say that. Nothing to do with the game, liking it or disliking it. Just whatever that was.
Well, no doubt we'll probably put in at least this much time talking about it. There was no way this wasn't going to be kind of an evocative thing. There's no chance of it. If nothing else, it's going to do that. I'm glad nobody has uttered the phrase, because I was going to, like, drive a nail through their gonads if they did.
What phrase is
now
that?
Now you want to know. And then I have to drive the nail through my own gonads. I'm not doing that today. I'll tell you once we're on break, which is probably a good time right about now.
Well, other than Dante's Inferno, RJ, did you play anything else?
I gave the downloadable content of Resident Evil 5 a try, the Lost in Nightmares.
How was that?
I've heard that's really good.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Yeah. The scenario is basically playing with Jill and Chris. They touched on it in the main game where they went after Oswald Spencer. So you play that sequence of entering the mansion and going to see him. And it's a pretty good little short mission to go on. It don't last about maybe 30, 45 minutes. Short, but it's nice.
I've heard really good things about that.
Wasn't that played out in one of the Wii games?
I don't have Wii, so I'm not sure about that.
The whole thing with Jill, when they go after him, and then she had to fall through the window to presumably her death, and that's why I thought she was dead. I thought that was in one of the Wii shooters.
No, I'm not familiar with that. No, the part where Jill dives out the window with Wesker.
Yeah,
that's the end of it. So you're getting from where? So you're starting at the point where they enter the mansion to begin with, and then you get to that point. That's the conclusion of it. But it's a nice little thing. It has a mix of puzzles and strategy. If any of you, I don't know, spoil it if anybody's going to download it.
I'm probably not. I'd have to go rent the game again.
Okay, well, I'll just go ahead then. There's a portion of it.
And where, then me and James would have to play co-op again.
Yeah. No, there's a portion of it where you have all your gear, all your equipment. You're making your way through the mansion. Go out down to this basement. You read files and whatnot on the way. Pick up all these various items and whatnot. But there's a portion where you get in this prison area, flooded prison area, and you have no weapons. But you have about four of these huge beasts carrying these big anchors in there with you, and you have to maneuver your way through the area and find these traps and set them so that you can take these monsters out and get out of the area, and then make your way to go see Spencer. That's a pretty harrowing part of the game, because you got nothing. All you got is your wits. All you got is your wits with you. You got to make your way through that prison area like that. It was a pretty intense portion of the game, and I liked it. And when you download the content, you also get the Mercenaries Reunion mode. They bring back a bunch of classic characters. Barry Burton is one. They plan to release Rebecca in the second part of it. You also get to play as Excella in the Mercenaries part, and just variant versions of Chris and Sheva. But it's not a bad way to keep Resident Evil fresh in your mind when the gold pack comes out.
Yeah, I'd forgotten it was going to even have DLC. And, mm-hmm. It's almost been a year since that game came out.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Jeremy, you played AVP, right?
I played the first mission of the Marine, which was mostly just setting up the atmosphere. I thought it was creepy as fuck.
Like, yeah?
I was scared going down the creepy black tunnels and stuff.
You're human in a world of...
Did it remind you of, the Alien game? I mean, movie? Like, that feel of,
I don't know.
He doesn't...
This is
Jeremy.
I know you've seen Aliens.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So anyway...
why do you always assume everybody feels or knows or thinks what you do? Stop assuming you when you're talking to him. And I'm not even... Not being critical of you here. He doesn't watch movies. He doesn't give two shits about movies. He never has. Ever. So to ask him whether it captures the feeling more of, does it really encapsulate that kind of feeling we grew up with?
Yeah. Your first question should have been, have you seen the movie?
He has. I've watched it with him.
But he doesn't care. When did you watch it with him?
Back at the store.
Yeah. So you're supposed to watch Cameron's Aliens when you're like, I don't know, how old were we?
Yeah, 86, I think it was. 10?
Yeah, 10, 11, 12. That's when you're supposed to watch it. Like, right after it comes out on VHS or something.
Not in your early 20s.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same impact. So you and I are going to forever have a completely different like, you, me, Kevin, could all get together and talk about how this game affects that emotional reservoir that it was developed back then. This guy, nothing.
But it does set the mood for, the creepy and the dark.
It creeped me out,
Okay.
Didn't really get to play it as a shooter much till the last bit of that particular level, and it seemed to work all right. I'm not really sure how I feel about it just yet. I need to play some more of it. But I wanted to try out the Colonial Marine first, because that's been done enough that if you're going to get any aspect of an AVP game right, that would be the easiest part to get right. Yeah. And it worked well enough that I want to play it a little bit more, see how I feel about some more of it. But what I really want to play is the Predator part.
That's me. I would have jumped into the Predator part first.
Well, if they'd fucked that up, I'd have walked away from it entirely without trying anything else. So, but I am anxious to try the Predator part too.
So I guess from the outset, you get to pick which three or yes. which of the
and,
three,
and you can change up at end.
Oh, really?
Once I finished that part, it's like, all right, you want to continue the Colonial Marine, or do you want to jump over here and start the Alien or the Predator story?
All right.
So. Yeah, it's tough to do though.
Yeah, I'd have to stick with one.
It's do one playthrough is this, then the next playthrough is that.
So, did anybody play anything else for you? Go to break?
Guess not. Not enough to justify not going to break.
Yeah.
And now a peek into the universally acclaimed internet audio whimsy, the Fudcast.
So I'm going to the mall to go get a game, and I'm wandering around, and I decided on getting a copy of Animal Crossing. So I take the game over to the guy, and he's trying not to laugh at me. So I ask him, hey, dude, what's the problem? And he's like, nothing, you just look a little old to be in the third grade.
Wow, apparently he knows what a lot of third graders like, I guess. What'd you tell him?
I told him I hoped his mother died like those guys in Indiana Jones.
Which guys?
When they opened the ark.
Oh my god, yeah, hopefully.
Fudcast, in-depth game analysis every other Sunday at gameradio.us.
Got ourselves a lot of release dates this week, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah.
Like what?
Let's see. Well, the DSi XL, its North American release, is
the
in
Dixel?
March. The Dixel. March 20th for $190.
It's too many bucks.
I think it is, too.
However, they did give us a date for something that might actually make me turn my DS on.
Which was?
Infinite Space.
When is that?
Fuck off and die.
Yeah.
It's not soon enough, that's when. It's the shit, it's the spaceships, and it's like, if EVE Online were a single-player game, and on the DS...
Why have I not heard anything about this? Or
have
I?
Because you have. You just ignored it because I've been talking about it for a year. Huh. So finally get the finally have the U.S. release date for that. I think it's mid March.
Okay. I think they corrected the date for Splinter Cell because it was
corrected it.
Well, I saw some videos where it said it's supposed to be out earlier this month.
That's like a 2 month old date.
That's a long time ago.
That date's been changed officially for a while now.
Has it?
Yeah.
Well, I finally just saw like a video on it on the Xbox Live, and it's got me more interested in it than I was before.
Oh God! What the hell were you doing that you weren't interested in before?
Yeah, why weren't you? What did you see that made you more interested?
It was the story trailer,
which I haven't seen that one yet. Actually,
okay.
Didn't you and I watch that one, Jeremy?
What's that?
The story trailer for Conviction? For Splinter Cell? Isn't that the one you and I watched? And like,
yes,
didn't
it
like
is. Yeah.
At all? And it was like, this is cheesy. You know what sold me on it? Was fucking The Last from E3. Did you not see that shit?
The last... no, because the last thing I actually saw of Splinter Cell was before they revamped it.
Fuck, where the fuck... I mean, I know that literally I know where the fuck you were, but... It's been a minute, dude, and that video's been out there for a long time. The playthrough that they did at E3, like, fucking zong, dude. Like, that shit was badass. Like, I don't need some fucking story trailer.
That's why I haven't watched much anything else.
That's trying to, like,
just like,
fake out and be some other stupid shit. Like, fuck trailers. I saw the dude playing the game, and it was boss. Like... That redesign was tight as hell. That's all I needed. I haven't needed a thing since then. I don't give a fuck. Are you still doing what you showed me then? Right on. That game's... Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, like, don't be interested in it. Clearly, I'm saying please be interested in it, but, like...
Yeah, well, after a Double Agent, I was just like, eh.
But you're having, like, a two-year-old conversation now.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, I'm getting to the point where now I try not to really do too much of, you know... Spoiler stuff.
And why'd you watch the story trailer?
Well, beforehand. Now that's getting really close to coming out.
It's still beforehand.
Now that's getting really close.
It's not really close to coming out.
But it comes out, what, next month?
No.
No, it April. Comes out in April.
Oh, is it April?
It's April 14th, I believe.
Oh, that's right.
It's coming out next month.
Okay. But
I'm trying to justify your bad behavior. I caught you, motherfucker. No, fuck that trailer, dude. Go back and watch the shit that they played, like, the narrated playthrough at E3.
Okay.
And, like, and then you'll be where we all were 6 months ago. Like, okay, I'm fucking sold. Like, you're doing some serious
shit. Is the story trailer the only thing you've seen of the redesign?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You are...
I haven't seen the story trailer. I don't know what they show.
It's just because, like I said, it's just some stupid trailer.
Okay.
It's
not. No, go to Game Trailers. Go to YouTube and fuck it. Go somewhere. Find the E3 Splinter Cell Conviction. I know you like to do this stuff when we do the show, so do that. Go ahead.
He's giving you. Your reaction would be...
Yeah, go ahead and do that. We'll talk about other stuff, but you go ahead and go watch that, because I know you do this stuff anyway.
No, you want to... No, that's far and away better. The story trailer was like some trumped up like promo crap that you see for every game. It was fine, but it didn't make me want to play the game. What made me want to play the game was the shit I saw 6 months ago with like the objectives cast up on like big stuff. God. And like him beating the fuck out of the dude in the bathroom. Like
the whole new system of
showed some of the
everything know, the guy that he should have been
ass in the bathroom
years ago. That was great.
Yeah,
great
the way stuff. They project the not just the objectives, but also the not really cutscenes, but
yeah.
You know, some of the yes. some of I'm not sure exactly
some
sure
of
what
what's
that
happening
is.
In the minds of the
yeah characters. Yeah yeah or flashbacks of things.
It was very cool. Projecting. Very good choice.
E3 thing on here. There's some TGS stuff.
No, just find the E3 stuff. Just find the E3.
I mean, I'm not retarded. It was E3.
Yeah, it was definitely E3, and the other. What was the thing? I don't know what they're calling it, but when it leaves the outline of where you were last spotted by the enemy, I love that fact. That they go directly to that point. They don't just wander around. They're like, yeah, we saw you there. That's where we're going. Did he find it?
No, he's watching some dumb shit. Some cartoon animals.
It's the stupid GameStop commercial.
Whatever. I don't ever get shown that crap. I must be cooler than you.
All
right. These days we're going to have to teach Matt how to use YouTube.
So do we know if he found the right one yet?
No.
I don't know. Okay.
You can keep talking about something while I'm trying to verify your authenticity of this find.
What else do we get dates on?
No, that's the fucking wrong answer. You want?
I'll go to YouTube.
Yeah, search, I don't know, man. Search, what's that new shit they got? Google? Splinter Cell Conviction, E3-09.
Playthrough.
Gameplay.
Gameplay, yeah, something like that.
YouTube. Like, put those words into a search engine. You still know how to do this.
Anyway, other dates that we got were the new Prince of Persia game, Forgotten Sands, on May 18th. The surprising one was the stuff from Nintendo, Super Mario Galaxy 2 on May 23rd. I really thought that was going to be a fall release. But yeah.
You thought something about it?
I thought it'd be released in the fall.
I didn't even have a thought about it, so.
They've never been one much to like group all their shit in one time of the year, so.
They don't have enough shit. Yeah. How are you going to group your...
Besides, it doesn't matter when they release that shit.
True.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, as well as the Metroid release on that one, June 27th.
The other end.
I know you did your job.
Did he find the right one?
No. You're watching some guy talk.
He's talking about how you're going to watch.
Now, the other M, like, I just read something about that got me, you know, pretty jazzed again. Because, I mean, you saw the thing at E3 about it, and I was like, oh, fucking badass, mm-hmm. You know. Cool-looking Metroid game, Team Ninja.
Yeah.
Just kind of shame it's on the Wii, but, you know, don't have really much choice in that shit. But apparently the game is set right after Super Metroid.
Oh,
it
neat.
Even includes, like, the final battle of Super Metroid with Mother Brain, where the little baby Metroid comes back and, like, sucks Mother Brain's power and gives it to you and you have the super laser.
I think you're watching the right one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like except in like first person and all 3D like and shit.
So you actually replay that entire thing.
That's what I'm reading today, yeah. So anything that's going to call on Super Metroid in terms of Metroid is a winner in my book. So I'm a little bit more excited about that now. And I was already kind of excited about it, so.
Yeah. And the other release date that I really care about is Split Second, May 18th, so.
Split Second?
That is the...
You don't want it.
Yeah, no, you really don't.
Okay. What is it?
Racing game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a racing game.
All right. Who's the developer?
Michael Bay.
What?
He's not, but...
He is, will be.
Black Rock Studios, the same guy that did Pure.
Yeah.
It's a Disney game, but, well, Disney, I guess, doing the publishing on it, but Black Rock's the dev. And Pure is a very...
Pure.
Is it you that I talked to about this? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and
right, see?
RJ loving the Pure.
Mm-hmm. See? This is where you would have been.
It was a shame. They were going to make a sequel to that, and they fell through for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why, but what could have been? Hmm?
So it seems like Matt's found the right one.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other dates?
Those were the only dates that I believe, unless there were more. Obviously, because I missed Infinite Space, of course. So I could have missed other.
Dude, I've been talking about that for a long time. I mean, it's very Japanese. Don't get me wrong. That shit's been out in Japan for a minute now, but...
Let's see.
Cool. That shit's just supposed to be all, like, spaceshipy stuff. Spaceship-y. Did you watch a video?
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, that's pretty damn cool.
That shit ain't fucking around, dude. No. Like, after...
Double
Agent? Yeah, Double Agent was a... Fucking stinky turd, man. Yeah.
And then after,
Double Agent was horrible.
After what we saw of what Conviction was going to be.
Yeah, it was like, oh, great. Like, this isn't good. But the fact that they actually went back to the drawing board and recognized... Those motherfuckers really saw what he should be as mm-hmm. a character. Like, all of the killer behavior that you would expect from that character... Totally self-evident. That character seems dangerous to me. And he hasn't felt like that in a very long time. And I love it. The brutality, like, the lethal efficiency of that character, absolutely spot on. And the presentation was just really slick.
Now, I know there's, you know, the whole Clancy universe that I know that I think Hawks, you know, sort of had a little bit to do with a Ghost Recon... And, you know, that had a little bit to do with...
yeah.
You know, but they're all set in the same universe.
Yeah,
is Third Echelon in that same, like, you know, could...
Third Echelon?
Did I say Echelon?
Yeah.
Third Echelon. Is that set in the same universe where, like, Sam Fisher could meet up with John Clark? Are they... Or is it kind of like, you know, the whole Jack Ryan and Red Storm Rising are two separate things?
It's like... No, I'll tell you what it is. Ubisoft bought Tom Clancy's name from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Do I need to repeat that phrase?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, dude, there's no...
Okay, so...
These people are terrible stewards of universe continuity, or story continuity. They don't... No. No, dude. Not going to happen. Or if it does happen, it's going to be a real travesty. Well, but, that aside, looking at that game, if that game turns out even remotely like what we've seen, like, time there. That shit looks... That looks like a good action game.
Yeah.
Did you mention Alan Wake in your release dates?
No, I didn't, and we did get a release date on that, didn't we?
Yeah, it's also the 18th.
And a rating.
Of May. So, like, now...
I don't care about the rating so much.
I just thought it was interesting that, to me, I wouldn't have assumed it to be a team
rating. Why, you haven't seen shit of the game?
I've seen a trailer of it.
No, you haven't. That ain't shit of the game.
It's very little.
You've seen a trailer of a game. That's... I mean...
But, you know, for the people who are doing it and everything, I just figured it'd be a little more mature.
I don't know about that. No, I don't know. I don't think there's any. I mean, why? Because Remedy's making it. What was the last thing they really did?
Max Payne 2,
which was what?
Mature.
Which was, whatever. I'll give you the answer. It was primarily a PC game.
Yeah.
They were PC devs back in the day. Okay. Do you know what the rating for the PC version of Alan Wake is?
Is it coming out?
It's a trick fucking question. There ain't no such goddamn thing. You don't make money. With M-rated games on the console. That's what people think. I mean, I know it's not entirely true, but that's where their head's at. So, yeah, it's not even remotely surprising this is a teen-rated game. It's a console-only game, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, so, just with the whole thing of it being, like, you know, that kind of suspenseful horror.
Well, because it's dark?
Yeah. I figured it'd be more of a mature thing.
It doesn't have anything to do with anything, dude. It doesn't have anything to do with it.
It didn't. I wasn't, for whatever reason, I wasn't as surprised as you are.
I mean, okay. If it had been mature, I would have been like, okay, that's really cool. But it's the fact that it's teen is like, whatever.
I was oddly enough more excited that they showed box art. And I was like, okay. You know. And yeah, I wasn't really big on the fact that it got a teen rating. That didn't shock me. I was not necessarily surprised by the announcement that it wasn't going to be released on PC, but even that weighed more into my head than the rating.
That was a little...
I just hadn't heard anything more on that whole PC.
It doesn't matter. The ultimate decision was a little... They could have done it. It's fine. I'm gonna play it. They have a lot to... I mean, one of the first things I ever saw on an Xbox 360... was a video you downloaded of Alan Wake. four years ago.
That was one of my favorites when the shadows started coming.
Somebody needs to move their game. Because May 18th is now Lost Planet 2, Prince of Persia, Forgotten Sands, and Alan Wake all on the same day.
I'll say Lost Planet.
And for me, Split Second, but that's a limited amount of people who
recognize that. I know nobody else in this room cares, but like then the 23rd is Mario Galaxy 2. And I loved Mario Galaxy, so I want to play that too.
I don't know.
Yeah, they seem to have really given up the whole, you know, we should push all our shit into the fall. I mean, they're still going to do that, but...
Well, we just don't know.
We're still getting great top-tier games.
I don't think this has been a good year.
Oh my God.
Max is already the first thing I think we know of. It's supposed to be in the fall, Max Payne.
Yeah.
It's been a busy fucking year, man.
Yeah, it has.
And it's only the second month. Yeah.
I think, unless something moves, I think Lost Planet 2 is going to drop off of my list there. So,
I didn't even play the first one.
I didn't either.
I played some of it. I got it for $5 on Steam.
Does it have two or four player co-op?
That's an excellent question. I can't remember. I don't know off the top of my head.
I can't remember. It's got co-op. I just can't remember if it's got two or four. God, I want to say it's got four, but I'll have to look that up.
Maybe we can do that in the summer if there's some dead time in there.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know. We haven't heard much as far as releases after, you know, June, other than the Metroid Other M getting a release. But that stuff, you know, that stuff's coming, so.
I know Lost Planet 2, they have cameos from other, you know, from other characters from other games.
Yeah.
I know of the Gears of War, but there's another, was it Wesker?
Yeah, it's Wesker.
Okay.
That's dumb to me. Whatever.
Yeah, I have no desire to play
them. It's just cheesy. It doesn't do a thing for me. What are you looking for?
I was looking to see if it had two or four player.
No, it's next week.
Bad Company 2.
Bad Company 2.
I almost said Bad Company 3, thinking of Battlefield. Is this Tuesday?
Yep.
I'm actually going back to and playing Bad Company right now.
Right?
Yeah. In my case, because I haven't beaten it.
The game I'm picking up is the show. MLBTN, the show.
I had to adjust the contrast and the brightness on my TV because it was too dark. When I was inside, I couldn't see anything.
Oh.
So I had to, like, you know, go through and haul and pause it.
Tragic.
Trying to find the different gold reserves.
Yeah, God, I don't worry about that shit. It's not... I'm real tired of doing that real fast.
That was a problem I had with AVP that you just reminded me of. When I started the game and it went through its, you know, settings, it's like, adjust the brightness, you know, till you can just barely see the logo. And I turned the brightness all the way up on the game and couldn't see the fucking logo. So.
Yeah, I went rather bright on Heavy Rain, more so than what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I was like, damn, I can't see shit. And I had to go a lot brighter than I normally do when I'm given these options, just to see the image they wanted me to see. And I thought, damn.
I didn't have as big a problem with Heavy Rain as I did AVP, so. I'd be interested to see if you could ever see the logo in yours.
Yeah, I'll try. Give that a shot and find out.
Did you Gamefly AVP also?
Yep.
Okay.
Haven't touched it yet, though, have you?
Nope. I took it out of the sleeve.
Yeah. Not exactly what I meant, but all right.
Track Zero doesn't necessarily send his condolences, but we were playing. I was playing Dante's Inferno. He was playing something else, and he's like, "Wow, I see Dana there playing Mass Effect 2 a lot. Poor James.
She's
been on that thing all day.
I've missed a lot of opportunities because she was playing it, but it's okay. Like I prefer for her to be ahead of me, just because of how the conversations work between us.
Well, is it time for mail and tweets and all that fun stuff?
Sure.
All right.
We can head on over to the Twitter. Let's see here. Senator Spacer writes in and says, I think the Alan Wake box art is rad. May hate the title above the logo, but I like it in a cheesy way. And here is a picture of it for anybody who is interested, if it loads
up. I'm sure I saw it, but it hasn't stuck to my memory.
It's quite simple.
It's no, I remember. It's very literary.
Yeah.
It's pretty deliberate, like... Looks like a cover to a Stephen King novel or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like very simple, very stark. Not that all of his are, but you know.
It's enough. Yeah, it's enough. Unlike traditional game box art, that I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, too. It's enough. Unlike Heavy Rain's box art.
Yeah. Kind of something I miss getting all my games through GameFly now, or at least renting all my games through GameFly is box art. The box art, because I don't see it. Let's see. Matt of Steel says, rocking a new gaming laptop that just arrived today. Anything I need to be aware of with Steam? Thanks.
Huh. Opt into the beta for the UI.
Have you done that?
Yeah. That's why I'm suggesting. Oh,
I thought you, yeah, okay.
I haven't. Don't ever bother getting used to the old UI. Because it's crap. New one's pretty good. I don't know. I don't really have too many issues.
I guess the only thing you need to be aware of with Steam is their weekend and midweek sales.
Well, not only that, if it's a gaming laptop, I suppose you're more likely to have your laptop moving around with you, which means make sure you're obviously fully aware of the offline mode.
Mm.
You know, and get comfortable with the differences between like what's available online and offline. Like, you know, just one of those things. Mm-hmm. At a desktop PC, it's not a big deal, but if you're carrying stuff around on a notebook or a netbook or something, you can make a difference. Anymore, not really. Service works damn well now. It's too good to really fret over.
Have you picked up anything lately on Steam?
No. The last thing I bought was Bad Company 2.
Mm-hmm. I tweeted that we almost had a trailer fire, and Ghost Bear says only in Alabama.
Yeah.
Tweeted that we were talking about Heavy Rain, and Matt of Steel said, better be spoiler tagged, Heavy Rain talk. Fucking Olympics is dominating the TV, or I'd be playing that game yesterday.
Yeah.
And as we'll you know, preface in the beginning, in the intro of the show, we'll let you know that it's not very...
It is not spoilerific.
It really isn't. RJ hasn't even played the game, and he doesn't feel spoiled. I don't think he does.
James and Scott aren't very far into it at all.
Yeah.
I think the one
thing we talk about is something you're probably aware of anyway.
And will probably hate us for talking about it, so.
Dwar says, AVP, comments. And we gave him some of those from the only person here who has played that so far. Brock Wagner writes in, says... I said his name wrong. Brock Wager, I guess. You had better say nice things about Heavy Rain or I'll punch a kitten.
Yeah, sorry.
Poor kitten.
That's not much of a threat for us.
I love kittens.
I don't want a kitten getting punched.
I don't either. But I also don't want to tell lies.
Punch all you want.
Like, you don't like kittens.
No, I don't like kittens.
What's your fucking problem with kittens?
Wow.
I don't like cats at all.
What's your problem with them?
I just don't like them.
Oh, you better fucking step up and give me some sort of factual analysis about...
They're not dogs.
It's not good enough. I love
it's
dogs.
It's close, but it's not good
I love
enough.
Cats.
Especially kittens, man.
I find kittens. Them annoying.
Kittens find you annoying.
Well, you know, that's fine. I can punch them.
So do we, though.
Iron Pass says, if James wants to turn people to hamburger, tell him to play Dante's Inferno on Resurrection Mode. That's just really fun. Resurrection Mode is the New Game Plus mode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You, damn right, because you were so fucking powerful.
Yeah, sure. That sounds
Holy crap.
Kind of like what I expect to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and about... I'm sorry about Heavy Rain. I'm sorry. I don't... I'll just go ahead and say this. I've read the internet, and there seem to be far more people who are just in lust with Heavy Rain than not.
Mm-hmm.
At least, I suppose, in our own little community. People just love it, so... I guess we're being outliers here, but I'm just not... I'm not feeling it, so there's probably no shortage of people who really like it. I've seen the meta reviews, like, it's very high. Like, people like it, so, cool. I don't all that much, but you will have heard by now that I don't want to pass Final Judgment, so.
And I'm wondering where RJ will fall on that.
I'm expecting lots of emails next week.
Yeah.
I guess it's going to fall where how good the mysteries are. How good the mystery plays out in the game.
Because really.
Unless they're going to throw some swerve at me, I don't think there is much mystery. I think it's very apparent who the Origami Killer is. So
if it is, then it's already apparent to me.
Yeah.
Where I am.
And you haven't even gotten like the first big slap in the face clue about it yet.
So. I got what I consider to be the first big slap in the face clue about it.
And like I said last show, the type of mysteries I hate are the ones where you see who did it in the very beginning, and then you gotta work your way to get to that point all the way through to the end.
Well, you don't have that situation, yeah, but it seems like the whole...
it's starting to sound obvious, the way...
well, it feels... the foreshadowing just seems a little heavy.
Yeah, so...
Who?
Well, we're not gonna say on the fucking show.
I'm kidding.
Come on.
But yeah. let's see. Calgar 99 says, it's probably too late, but DLC every month versus expansion every 6 to 8 months. Which would you prefer?
Expansion every 6 to 8.
Why?
Because when I look back at the old expansion, you know, like Mysteries of the Sith, Blue Shift, Up Forward, you know, stuff.
Nobody makes expansions anymore.
Yeah, they don't make them like that. Whereas it's a sizable chunk of a game.
And usually as opposed to,
like, you know, yeah, continue as opposed to, like, you know, DLC for, you know, like Bonfire of the Vanities, here's like a little town. You know, I'd rather have a sizable narrative or even like a, you know, alternate narrative.
But who even does DLC every month, though? Usually, it seems like what we're getting is like a couple of DLC releases shortly after launch.
Yeah, I mean, I think that
Fallout 3 being the exception.
Yeah, I agree. But I'd kind of like to see... Well, okay, ideally, an expansion 6 months later would be great, because that's how it used to work. That was the model. Like, mm-hmm. every first-person shooter got an expansion pack, like, half a year later, and it was fun, you know, and it added a whole bunch of new stuff.
Couple new weapons, new level, new bombs.
Yeah, but I generally, like, the way I digest games now, neither one really works too well for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mass Effect's little trickle of shit kind of is fun and works out well, but I don't know. So I suppose a more brief window of DLC probably works a little bit better. Because even if I rent the game, maybe I say I want to pay $5 for this one little thing while mm-hmm. I'm still kind of enjoying it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I got to go back and pick it up later. I don't really know. I just know that it's all... I don't feel like it's choice. I don't feel like both things are happening. Expansions just don't really happen the way they used to. DLC works. And DLC works better for developers, I think. Gives them an easier way to continue to keep up a revenue stream. So,
you know, a DLC I'd love to see would be for Bioshock 2, where they take the multiplayer and do it into a single player, where it's basically the Fall of Rapture as a single player story as opposed to a multiplayer map.
But that's not DLC.
That would be an expansion. I know. So. But I would love to see that.
I just think expansions are probably harder to sell because they're closer to full price. They're more mm-hmm. content, and you're spending, I don't know, 20 to 40. That was the old price range before with PC stuff. That's harder to sell. It's like, all right, I'm buying this all over again for what, you know? DLC has found that sweet spot of it's very saleable, you know?
But you got to strike while the iron's hot with DLC.
Yeah, it's tough. They're still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. I don't think its method is.
I prefer the DLC route, particularly when it's shortly after release, because the way I play games, you know, I I get a bunch of shit from Gamefly when it comes out, and then when it goes back, it's that much more of a pain in the ass to get the DLC and play it.
I think it was almost perfect with what they did with Prince of Persia, right? For me,
I guess. Yeah.
Prince of Persia, what was that, December? Mm-hmm. And the DLC was January, just a month later. Assassin's Creed 2, a little bit different. I think that might have been a little too long. I mean, I'm going to get back into it, but the fact that you've released it during such a busy time that we just got done saying, where the, mm-hmm. all this other stuff is there for me to take, I'm not as keen on jumping back into that right now when it came out. So, and again, Prince of Persia did the same thing, though. It's just it did it at a time when there was nothing else there for me to distract myself away from when it released. It's I think it's all about the timing. And if you can get that right, if you can nail that, then I think that's the way to go with it. So I prefer DLC over to expansions as well, just because of the ease of access, the convenience, and again, the timing. I think they can output DLC quicker than they can an expansion. So that's me, and those are the tweets that we've gotten on the emails. Kirk Bashy says, "Beam in. James gives a lot of the other guys on the show shit, and sometimes it seems unnecessary, almost kind of high school. But nevertheless, the guys should say learn to say screw you once in a while, or at least give as good as they get. Sure, James has a lot of knowledge by the sounds of it, and is obviously a guy who cares about details and calls people up on it when they miss something or make a mistake. But don't take it so meekly, guys. Stand up for yourselves. In the end, it doesn't really matter, as long as the game talk is good, which it is. Enjoying the show, everyone. Keep it up. But be men."
I've had a decade of dealing with James's shit. You know,
and he's had a decade of dealing with my shit. What Matt has learned is that if you just relax, it doesn't hurt as much.
No, I'm totally cool. I don't take any of it to heart. It's not personal.
If you struggle, it just hurts more.
I don't go home and cry my tears of justification. I know these guys. It's cool.
Yeah, the other part of it is it's like an act, but it's like everybody's got,
we got our roles.
Everybody's got their character that they play, so...
I prefer it when he jokes on Scott, you know. That's cool.
Too bad you weren't here last week.
Oh, I heard some of it on the podcast, yeah.
I cut out like 45 minutes.
Yeah, you didn't.
Although, the only thing I regret about that, by the way, is the fact that I cut out the part where I was asking you who you go to Six Flags with.
Oh, that's a good part.
I'm just saying, though.
Damn.
I was like trying to get him to commit to, like, you know, why do you like these people? Like, why? I don't know. Who would you go to Six Flags with? You know. And you made the right choice. You decided Garrus.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
It's a good one.
Lost annals of... whatever.
Sean Badger writes in, says, "I just wanted to say I thought the assassinations in the Bonfires DLC of AC2 were probably the most interesting and enjoyable assassinations in the entire game.
Okay.
There was a well-balanced mix of scenarios, and I really dug the ones where I failed if I was caught. I hate having to manually reload a la Metal Gear Solid if I want my playthrough to be perfectly sneaky. What are your thoughts? Long-time listener, first-time contributor."
Nice to hear that those assassinations are solid.
Yeah, as opposed to the game.
Yeah, which doesn't. Yeah. I mean, they could be so much more generous with how that game deals with its save data. There's absolutely no reason, none whatsoever, for that game to be so completely useless in terms of its data management. I hate it.
So yeah, none of us have. I don't think any of us have gotten the DLC. Either one of them, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, you don't have
Dennis
much.
Got.
He got
Forley.
Okay.
And
but he's not
even.
And
I guess he got. Did he get Vanity?
I have no idea.
I think he was waiting for both.
No. He said he had gotten Forley, and his recommendation was to wait for both.
Okay.
So he had not. I don't know that he at that point he had already gotten both.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he has.
I noticed Kevin was playing it too, but obviously Kevin not here. But still,
was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was on playing. Well, you know, ask Dana. She's on.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
There's a couple of DLCs that, you know, I'm interested in getting. I'm actually kind of interested in getting the Force Unleashed DLC also. The Hoth.
Mm-hmm.
And also Tatooine, just to give it a shot.
You've been to Hoth enough.
True.
You need to go back to Hoth.
But at least this time I'm not flying a snowspeeder.
Whatever. So sure there'll be something there that you've done before.
Yeah. But, you know, between that, I don't think I've gotten Mothership Zeta yet. I need to check on that one.
And I bought all them shits. I bought all them shits, dude, and I've only played, like, one and a half of them. I did Anchorage. I was like,
yeah, I think everyone.
And then I did, and well, that's the thing. And then I went and I did the pit, which is supposed to be like more like the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. And I realized I hit a fucking wall. I was like, I am done with this kind of gameplay, and I just killed everybody and left.
Yeah, you said you hated everybody in the pit.
There was nobody there that I didn't hate, and so I killed all of them and I left.
Logical. I don't like any of you.
I didn't even get like some of the best rewards out of it. There was just this point at which I was very near to the end of the thing, and I just got sick of it. And I just was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I just killed everybody. I couldn't figure out how to get back. It was real frustrating, and I was looking for my Hearthstone, and I was like, fuck, and somebody would be in front of me and I'd just be like, blam, and then it'd be somebody else and it's like, hey, Brad, blam.
You know who you sound like? Bill Murray at that point in Groundhog Day when he realizes I'm a god
by their rules
anymore.
And that's exactly what I was doing. I didn't think anybody would pick up on it.
Yeah, I'm on a point lookout.
I think
one of the things I want to do with this, kind of like I started to do a little bit with Oblivion, is just every character that you're allowed to kill, I want to do that in the entire game. You know, if I could kill them, I want everyone to be dead. Just, why not?
Yeah, that's how I did with Dante's Inferno. It's obviously different, but yeah.
They're already dead.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, I guess I went the unholy route, complete unholy route on that. So,
yeah.
So everybody, regardless of what they were begging me for, the people who I could absolve or punish, they were all gonna die. I didn't care. Now they're all gonna, they're all dead, obviously, but now they're all gonna be absolved, so it didn't matter. Next email comes from Jeff Posley. Hey, all. He sends us a link. This is something for you, RJ.
Mm-hmm.
This link is to a video of gameplay segment in Dante's Inferno. Ryan Davis is trying to complete one of the arena challenges, which has a bonus task of completing the challenge within 1 minute. The video is 40 minutes long. Jeff Gertzman is sitting next to him saying, "Don't suck." I imagine Jeff as James and Ryan as Matt. But holy hell, what does RJ think of this? And you would have to watch this video to see. I have not watched the video, but
I'll have to check it out.
I'll have to send this email to you.
Yeah, thank you. I'll have to check that out. Complete in a minute, but it's a 40 minute video.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Does it mention is it in the game or some special?
It's probably that arena thing you unlock.
Yeah,
Do you remember when you beat the game, you unlocked that thing that just sends you waves of enemies over and over again, which I haven't played that yet. I think it's 40 waves that you eventually have to go through. But I haven't watched the video. I have no idea.
Beating something in a minute that could potentially take 40 sounds like immense fun to Arch.
That's I think there's I don't.
Well, my cross is I'm not sure that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, no kidding. There was one segment in the in Fraud in the eighth circle when you have to go through the different challenges, the 10 different challenges.
Yeah, the male bulge or something like that.
Yeah. For the most part, those were not a problem, with the exception of the combo one. You had to chain like a 50 combo, a 50 hit combo, I think.
100.
Was it 100?
I think. Oh, no, I'm sorry, wait. There was one that says, if you start a combo, do not let it stop.
Yeah.
For anything.
And you had to hold it through the entire wave.
You had to hold it through the entire wave of everyone coming in.
That was the only one I had a problem with.
Because you went the unholy route, I'm thinking. Because your cross was at a very low level. Now, you said you went the unholy route all the way. I went the holy route all the way.
I know.
And by the time I got there, my crosses was...
I would suggest that. If you haven't played Dante's Inferno yet, or if you're leaning to one side of going through the game first, unholy or holy, go holy first.
It'll be a lot easier for you. Even if you're playing on easy, it'll be a lot easier for you. Hell, the first iteration of the final boss fight would have saved me a lot of time had I gone completely holy, because you can only use the cross in that battle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Anyway, yeah. Let's see. Clinton Davis writes into us and says, "Hey guys, great show this week, the mugging show. Thanks for reading all of my emails, Scott, even though I realized how unfunny my Mr. Rogers joke was at the end of the email after hearing it. Got a question for you guys on motion controls and online play. It seems that most titles have to include some sort of online component nowadays, with the exception of a few. With this new wave of motion control being introduced to the Xbox and the PS3, and it seems that they are both going to try to really support it, how do you see this gimmick playing out in online competition? Am I going to have to reach for a clip on my virtual vest before I reload? Also, any chance I can talk you guys into buying Bad Company 2 on PS3 so I can take a shot at James? Just kidding, with his experience with Battlefield, I'd probably get my ass kicked. Keep up the great work."
Yeah, motion control, particularly in like my online competitive games, it makes me nervous. You know, haven't really seen motion control implemented exceptionally well yet, so...
For some reason in my mind, all I could think about was like Time Crisis, you know, the arcade where it's like actually, you know, duck or something like that. Mm-hmm. They had one, you know, where you actually had to like move left or right. You know, was it like 911? I think it was.
Yeah, Konami Police.
Yeah. 911. So I mean, I had that in my mind that, you know, you had these people all sitting around just like ducking and bobbing and weaving and trying to shoot people.
I think it might can be done well. I think Sony's thing looks particularly promising.
Yeah, I think to begin with, you have to note the differences between the two.
Yeah.
Sony's is a controller,
mm-hmm.
which has the possibility of being much more precise. So in that, with Sony stuff, I'm less likely to feel like there's a problem. Microsoft's, though, at all, I don't have any concept of... I have yet to have an experience with motion controls that make me feel confident, even when the relationship is just from me to the console. Add an online component to that, and it's just, yeah, I don't know. If it's, perhaps if it's non-competitive, you can do things online together that, I don't know, you can give each other hugs or something.
Well, yeah, even in, you know, Heavy Rain's most recent example, there's several little quick time events that involve shaking the controller one way or the other. And I have particular trouble with the side-to-side motion.
Yeah.
I had to do that like 3 or 4 times when trying to wake this chick up. And I thought I was going to fail at it completely. But I think the 3rd time or 4th time I finally managed to get it right. I had to hold the controller a particular way, I think. Not the normal way. So.
I normally, for the side-to-side, I just one hand and... back and forth. Sounds really bad.
That looks really bad.
That was it was the visual that made me laugh there. Sorry, this is not a video podcast.
Yeah, I get whenever it does the up and down, I obviously want to shake
maracas.
Front, towards me and away from me is how I shake the controller, when actually I think it wants me to leave the controller at the orientation that it's at and go up and down.
I don't think it does.
Does it not?
I actually shake mine up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you just pull the fucker towards you and then push it down away from you,
it's pretty forgiving.
Regardless, I hated it. Anytime the PS3 came, when it was originally released, that's all you had were the motion controls. They didn't do the DualShock thing. They didn't have the vibration. And as soon as they could, they released that controller that had the vibration. Now it comes standard with vibration or whatever. It just seemed like everybody took... once that initial novelty, I guess, had come out and people really didn't care for it, it seems like developers were like, okay, we're not going to implement that. Or we're going to make it optional.
Yeah.
And I suppose maybe it's optional here if I don't want to do whatever it's asked. I don't know. In Heavy Rain, if
you could set the controllers to differently,
that becomes critical or not.
I don't know how it works, you know, because I'm doing it with the default. You know, I've played games and I know how the controller works. I don't know if you set the difficulty to a lower setting.
It probably only affects how much
time you have to perform a given thing.
And how much you have to do it, yeah. So, I don't know. I just, when that popped up, I thought, oh, God, I hope this doesn't become a regular occurrence. Yeah,
the up and down is fine because, you know, bending my elbows one way or the other is simple. The side to side is, I don't have quite as much power in mm-hmm. my, you know, arms the way I hold the controller to do that. I have to hold it a different way and shake it like a Coke can or something, yeah. You know.
Well, that's all the emails. That's cool. All we got. So thanks for the emails. Thanks for the tweets as well. No voicemails this time. We did get a voicemail, but it was somebody dialing the wrong number.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That's sad.
I mean, I don't know. You can hear a little bit of it, but...
I don't want to.
Okay, then that's fine. We won't play any of it. That's totally fine by me. But they were looking for a woman named Kristen, which...
Matt? I don't even know what that means.
No one here knows Kristen.
Something you're not telling us? Kristen.
Dun, dun, dun. Anyway.
I have no idea what that means.
That's all we got.
So be sure and write us, tell us how full of shit we are. You know, about Heavy Rain.
Oh, God. I knew this was going to be. I knew that was
God, Brock's going to send us a picture of a kitten.
And yeah. Punching a kitten.
I just. How do you guys love it so much?
But even better,
I can respect it. I'm pretty sure I can never love it.
So. Call us and leave us angry voicemails, because
yeah,
that'll be
sure.
That'll be fun to go through.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. Should be accustomed to that by now. And be men.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Grow up, men. And call us. We'll talk about it more next week. I can't imagine my opinion's changing very much on it.
Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I want to get the guy with the fancy specs and everything. Like,
oh, yeah,
that's more fun than walking around being
it
sad.
Really
dad.
It really is.
You know,
is.
I mean, clearly, like that has to be an improvement over like my fucking dump ass place in the Bronx or wherever the fuck I am. Crazy shit. I don't know.
I meant to read this when we were talking about it. I found another comment in the Heavy Rain thread by Civil.
Ah, go for it.
Somebody, he hated the controls, and somebody said, trust me, play the FBI agent part of the demo. He said, I just did, and that cemented this as a solid rental for me. I'm not paying $60 to go on a fucking ramp because the simple act of moving requires that I use all 10 of my digits and my dick so I don't fall down a fucking hill. Heaven forbid there's a scene where I have to wipe my ass and I need to involve my neighbors to help me with the goddamn button pressing so I don't miss any dingleberries.
Well, Matt told us.
clearly, he's never played Trespasser.
Oh, God.
I've never played that.
Oh, yeah.
It took three people to do it.
Yeah, it was fucked up.
On a bathroom break there, like, Matt informed us that the girl doesn't wipe when she uses the bathroom in the game. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly how he said it.
But that's his first comment when he walks into the bathroom.
We're, like, standing in
running
the urinals, and he's behind us, and he's like, the girl doesn't wipe. Just, like, out of the blue. We're like, what the fuck? Like, in the game. Oh.
Everybody stops what they're doing. And waits for an explanation on that one.
Lady didn't wipe.
He saved himself. Well, he saved himself.
As much as I could.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Should we start recording our breaks?
No. I'm taking a recording into the bathroom? No.